Good evening. The time is 6 p.m. here in the nation's capital. That means it's time for another edition of News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm here with
Mark Levine.
And we are here to talk about lots of exciting stuff. If you want to be a part of it, you can email me. If you can, we're certainly going to give the number to call out. But if you're not in a position to call, you want to send an email, it's garlandin, and that's garland, and then the letter in, at gmail.com. I am got my Twitter feed on right now.
Yeah, you could tweet at me as well, at Mark Levine Talk.
At Mark Levine. Make sure you put the E on the end of Levine. At Mark Levine Talk or at Garland Nixon.
You know what today is, Garland?
What's it?
It's Corruption Friday.
Corruption Friday.
We haven't had a Corruption Friday in a long time, but today it's going to be all about corruption.
Well, we'll start with a little Ferguson corruption,
okay.
And then we'll move on to some
Virginia corruption.
Virginia corruption, that's
right. And then why not some Texas?
I mean, you haven't had in Texas, they do everything big.
Right.
So their corruption,
right.
Tom, the hammer.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to go back there.
Northeastern corruption, Mid-Atlantic corruption.
That's it.
And Deep South corruption.
Yeah. You know, there's different places. Some places, it's kind of like food. You know, you got like the Tex-Mex.
Right,
that's a little spicier.
A little spicier corruption. Virginia's kind of sort of staid and kind of sad.
Maryland, it kind of has Old Bay crab seasoning on the corruption.
Yeah, so, there was a lot of crabbiness.
So we like our corruption. We like our corruption crabby.
Right.
Okay. But we're going to start with
some Missouri corruption.
I've been in Missouri. You know what they have a lot of in Missouri? What they do in Missouri? Here's what they do a lot of in Missouri. Red meat. Missouri, you go there, they are proud of their barbecue.
That's why they put all that pepper in the spray.
That's it. I was about to say, yeah. They spray people with lots of pepper spray.
Right. That's just to give you a taste of it's a little, instead of barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
A little pepper.
A little Missouri cooking there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, let's quickly, before we go on to Bob McDonald et al. And Mark, there were two people sitting in a studio somewhere near this area who said this guy shouldn't get elected and discussed his, we'll call it manifesto. Remember the report that he wrote for his,
about keeping family together.
Yes.
All about men being in charge of women. And then he did a whole trial where he threw his wife to the wolves.
Right. The great irony. And we sat here and said, don't elect this guy.
Yeah, we did.
And we talked, you know, the thing is, all this writing about family and all this kind of stuff, and he goes to trial and says, my wife and I couldn't have possibly been involved in conspiracy.
No, because we don't talk to each other.
We hated each other's guts.
That's right. It's all her fault.
And she liked
this. It's the wayward woman.
Yeah, and how about this?
The wayward
that
woman.
That no good woman, she had a crush on this other guy.
Right.
They never made that argument.
Well, true. They never actually, consummated that crush.
That was one of their arguments.
That's right. She couldn't resist this rich man.
Yeah. We'll start with Ferguson and we'll get to Bob McDonald.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking about though? We got racism in Ferguson. We got sexism in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
What do we
Rick
have?
Perry, stupidity.
Just stupidity.
When you got Rick Parody.
Right, so
you got
racism, sexism, and stupidity.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good choice. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, when you go to Rick Perry, that's what I call unconscious ignorance.
No, I would say with Rick Perry, you got racism in Ferguson, you've got sexism in Missouri, and with Rick Perry, I forgot the third one. Oops.
Rick, when I think of Rick Perry, I think of the term unconscious ignorance.
I forgot.
Like
Rick Perry. Oops.
Yes, he didn't. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he doesn't know, and he doesn't know that he doesn't know. Okay, so let's start with Ferguson real quick. The chief of police, Mark, in Ferguson, if you recall, at the time that he released the name of the officer who shot one Michael Brown, he also subsequently released a video that was part of a video that made it appear as though there was a robbery in the store.
He released it, I believe,
at the same time. Against the advice of the Department of Justice and the state police, who both told him not to do it, but he did it anyway.
That's right.
The media,
including the guy Ron Johnson, who'd been hired to keep the peace.
Yes. So he released it. The question was obviously why, and instantly the media asked him, why are you releasing this video at the same time as the officer? And he said, you guys, media, have been sending Freedom of Information Act requests. I don't know, it's FOIA, as we call it in the business, Freedom of Information Act requests about for the video, and the videotape. And I've gotten so many of them, so I figured I'd go ahead and release it. Well, of course, you know what the media did. The obvious thing, I guess he didn't figure it out. Again, you know, he must be a good friend of Rick Perry. He said he didn't. He never stopped to think that they would ask him for copies of the Freedom of Information Act request. So, Mark, needless to say, this thing played itself out. The media said to him, oh, you released this video because of the numerous Freedom of Information request acts from the video. Give us a copy of all the Freedom of Information Act requests that you had that prompted you to release this video at such an inopportune time. Mark, I'm going to give you the first guess. How many Freedom of Information Act requests there were, particularly for that video?
I would say zero plus or minus zero. I need a margin here.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'd say zero, give or take, nothing.
Let me just put it like this. You're within the margin.
I'm within the margin. I thought I might be.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on this?
They did ask for information about the shooter, about the
right.
Cop.
Right.
That lots of people asked requests on. But no one requested a video of Michael Brown in the convenience store. And specifically not one edited to only show part
right.
of his time.
So nobody asked for the videotape, yet he said the only reason he was releasing it was because people asked for the videotape.
Right. And if it surprises you that the Ferguson police lie, I got this great bridge in Brooklyn that
right.
I'd really like to sell to you. So let me know if you're surprised that the Ferguson police lie.
Right. Now, that would lead me to believe that the investigation into what happened here probably won't be on the up and up. Here's what I mean. The internal investigation, my understanding is the state police or St. Louis County police, neither of which I feel real good about in Missouri anyway, are going to be releasing it, but will be investigating it, but the Ferguson police will have to cooperate, you know.
Look,
release information, data, information.
I don't trust the Ferguson police. I certainly don't trust the St. Louis County police. I think both those police forces have shown themselves to be military first, questions later. I do think the State Highway Patrol, I think Ron Johnson is an honorable person. I would trust his investigation. I actually think Governor Nixon is trying his best to do the right thing, and I certainly trust Eric Holder to get to the bottom of things, the Attorney General. So I do think there will be some competent investigations. I have to agree with you. I certainly don't trust Ferguson police or St. Louis County police.
Well, with a name like Nixon, I mean, the governor right off the bat, I mean, he's halfway there, too. He's
you know,
halfway
I always said you can't trust Nixon.
Yeah, right. But, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
You know.
But at any rate, well, let me say this, Mark, and this is going a few years back, and I'm sorry if I hurt any feelings, but I know this for a fact. I can remember an investigation that the Maryland State Police did where they were supposed to investigate racism and discrimination in another police department, and it was so bad that it was sealed and is still sealed.
Are you allowed to talk about it, girl?
That's all I'm going to say.
Are we disclosing something?
That's all I'm going to say. I remember it. I remember it because I was part of a lawsuit. Yeah, I was part of the lawsuit.
Call me again.
And it, but, yeah, okay.
Sorrily,
no, let me change it. I can't say it was so bad because I never saw it.
Right?
In fact, nobody ever saw it.
Because
in fact,
sealed.
They got it sealed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but at any rate, I say that to say this. Maryland State Police, who actually I may say has come a long way, who I'm sure are far more, when you get down south and when you get out of Missouri, you know, things aren't, you're down south and you're in Missouri. How's that?
Parts of Missouri certainly are the South.
Yeah, the part no between Kansas and Tennessee.
No, there's no question. I mean, Missouri was a slave state, and it definitely had there's definitely Southern elements in
Missouri. Oh, I've been there. I didn't like
it. In my home state of Virginia, we have the first governor to be convicted, and I suspect he's going to serve some time. Of a felony ever in Virginia's history. The
right.
Commonwealth of Virginia is older than the United States by good 150 years or more. And this is the first. So Bob McDonald's going to jail. His wife, Maureen McDonald's, going to jail. And the fascinating thing about this case, well, there's so many fascinating things about it, but one is that the prosecutors offered him a deal.
Mm-hmm.
They said, plead guilty to this one very small charge of lying on a loan document. It's a felony, but it's one of the little felonies.
Yeah.
You know, they
and they were going to let his wife go, weren't they?
They were going to let her go completely. And he would, who knows how much he would have had to serve, probably a few months in jail just to make the point. And he decided to fight it. And not only did he decide to fight it, but his defense was fascinating. Just his, this was the defense.
Unique.
It was my wife and I. My wife is so bad. How bad is she?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like
yeah,
sick,
any,
it's
any
like
youngman.
It's a sick joke. It's
yeah,
a sick joke.
Any youngman.
Take
one
my
line.
Wife, please.
Yeah,
right. Right. My wife is so bad that I had no idea what she was doing.
Yeah.
She was going off on all these shopping sprees, but he seemed to neglect the fact that some of those were for him. He got right. a Rolex watch from
just happened
this,
to show
this,
up
this
in
Johnny
his...
Williams business.
He probably didn't even
right.
notice it.
His daughter got a $15,000 catered wedding. You tell me what father well, doesn't look at the bills for their daughter's wedding. He got loans that he himself negotiated. So clearly, Bob was involved in all this. This is exactly what the jury found beyond reasonable doubt. But the amazing thing to me is this. He truly thought, or at least tried, or to completely sully the family laundry, throw it all out there, blame it all on Maureen, and she's no innocent person either, as the jury so found. But blame it all, and it was the I got a bad wife defense. And I'm curious whether, and I'd be curious to know from our listeners, whether that defense might have worked in the 40s and the 50s. You yeah. know, gentlemen, you know, maybe when all male jury, you understand, I got yeah. this wife and it's a
women,
problem.
Women, what are you going to do with them?
And they specifically wanted, the defense wanted a male-dominated jury.
Mm-hmm.
Many juries today are dominated by women. This was a 7-5 majority male jury. And they're like, I'm sure they'll understand, you know, my wife. So when you really think about it, she could have, you know, if he'd pled guilty to the felony, she'd be off scot-free. This is the guy who wrote the piece.
Oh, yes.
The anti-gay piece talking about, nope, you know, we need this formal Christian marriage where the man's in control and where the woman serves him and it's the structural family. It's the best for the children. This guy put his wife in jail.
Yeah, right.
Sullied her all over the place. And again, I don't doubt that some of it's true, but, you know, there are true things we know about
oh,
each
and
other
the other thing
that
about
you don't necessarily
they,
tell the
did you notice
world.
This? They kept talking about during the trial, she was basically a crazy person. She sounded like, you know, I didn't know if they were talking about her or Abe
they
Lincoln's
called,
wife.
Yeah, I think they called her a nutbag.
Yeah.
I think that
what was Lincoln's wife?
Oh, Mary Todd Wolf.
Yeah,
Mary Todd Lincoln.
Yeah. I didn't know, you know.
Well, you know, to be fair, there were certain similarities between her and Mary Todd Lincoln. Mary Todd Lincoln
But trust me, he's no Abe Lincoln.
No, that's for sure. But Mary Todd Lincoln was very famous for, you know, poor Abe. He's like, I got the Emancipation Proclamation. I got to worry about the troops, and they might invade Washington, and,
right.
and I got to protect the Capitol. And Mary Todd Lincoln's like, the ladies, the society ladies won't accept me. Do right. something about it. He's right. like, I'm hundreds of thousands of people are dying here.
Yeah, they shot.
They don't like my petticoat.
If you remember, he was riding, and they shot his hat, his stovepipe hat off. You know, some Confederate yeah. sniper shot the hat off his head.
And Mary's like, the society won't. So there was some of that. Apparently, Maureen McDonald was complaining about what she had to wear the day after he was elected governor, and he was busy. He was on the phone at the time with a certain guy by the name of Barack Obama.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And he's like, honey, I'm busy. And she's like, no, this is important. What I wear is important. So the point is this. I only know this dirty laundry because they shared it.
Right.
Otherwise, I wouldn't know it. And it's really none of my business, and it's just irony to me that Mr. Family Values, the guy who is running on family values, it always seems to be those politicians that demand, and it's always the guy, so I don't be sexist here, but demand the long-suffering wife has to stand there while the politician basically sullies her, sullies their reputation. And the irony is, and I'm no fan of Maureen McDonald. She's guilty too, but she was actually silent in all of this, and he was trying to use her to get off. And to me, that's just even worse than all. I mean, just all the corruption and all the. And the other thing about it is, it was cheap. It was $177,000.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you could buy a governor. $177,000. I thought a congressman cost at least $500,000 these
yeah,
days.
I was about to say, you know. And here's the thing. I mean, ask Eric Cantor. I mean, you know, you're governor for a couple years, and you go to Wall Street, and you make a mint.
Yeah, well, easily.
Yeah.
And that's legal. That's perfectly legal. You give all these gifts to Wall Street, and then you make several million dollars afterwards. That bribery is perfectly legal. Well, it's not like doing it. It's just that Bob at McDonald did it the wrong way.
Well, it's not like Eric Cantler tried to block legislation that would have further tightened down on what. Wait a minute. He did. But that's not illegal.
No. So I think the heart of what McDonald was saying is, you know, I didn't know that bribes weren't allowed. Yeah. It's kind of what he says. He's like, you know, I made some mistakes. That's why I didn't disclose these things. That's why I hid them from the authorities. But, you know, in Virginia, bribery is just the way it's played.
Yeah, and it's,
and how do you know, to challenge me to say I can't get bribes? This is America. Bribes are as American as apple pie.
Right.
And besides, I didn't know it was on my wife.
Right, and there's that bus parked under there. Well, let's see. We'll throw my wife, kids, chief executive. You know, he threw everybody under the bus.
Not only did he not think he'd get caught, he didn't think he'd be convicted. He didn't take the plea. And I just think there's a certain arrogance among politicians. I mean, you know, compare this to, say, Bill Clinton, who they tried to impeach for cheating on his wife, okay, which is still not a crime in America. But compare that with real bribery. I mean, this guy, Johnny Williams, was trying to argue and have the governor make the case that tobacco is healthy. And that you can actually eat parts of it, and it'll cure all kinds of things.
It will. You'll be dead. You won't have any diseases.
To be fair, that's a tough argument to make.
Well,
it's a difficult one to make.
Technically, Mark.
You need a little help to make that argument.
Technically, Mark, when you're buried, you won't have any more aches and pains. It cures everything.
Ebola, you won't have that anymore.
You'll be dead.
He need a little bit of help, that's for sure.
But
the arrogance is really... And so, you know, I am a Virginian. It is my state. I feel bad for the state, for the Commonwealth. I think we deserve better. And this guy was on the short list for vice president for Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And by the way, I got to tell you, being a Virginian, of all Republicans in Virginia, McDonald's one of the least crazy ones.
Yeah. Cuccinelli. Cuccinelli.
We have far worse people running the state and just in terms of politics and all. So that just tells you how common this is.
Yeah. Well, a couple things here, and that is his defense to me was basically this. I was a good and honest man out here trying to pursue my political career. I was trying to be a good governor, but my crazy wife over there screwed everything up. She was lusting after some man. You know what I mean? I mean, can you get a more sexist defense? My wife was crazy. According to him, she was crazy.
They weren't even lovers.
Nothing happened.
Make that argument.
But according to him, she was lusting after this man.
They went to like a ball game together.
Yeah. So all of this, and of course, obviously, you know, it was absurd. It didn't have to fall apart.
Thing,
it was so bad.
The jury saw through. They were reporting the Washington Post what one of the jurors said, and the juror was asked if they were impressed that every day at the trial, Bob and Marie would come in separately.
They never
talked to each other. They'd only talk to their own lawyers, and they hadn't lived together for a full week before the trial.
That's not planned.
Right. So they lived together for all 4 years when all these loans and stuff were happening.
Yeah.
But they didn't talk, and proof is that a week before the trial, Bob McDonald moves out. Who was that supposed to fool? I mean, jurors.
A fool?
There are some stupid jurors out there, but they're not that stupid.
Well, you know, this all makes sense, though, if you think about it. It's very consistent. If you're so stupid that you won't take that one guilty we both have an extensive background in the criminal justice system. If you look at that case, you have got to take that one. I mean, if you're a lawyer.
But they're gonna.
If you're advising a guy and you look at this whole thing and he says, "Well, they're offering me a one guilty and they're going to let my wife go," what are you going to tell him?
I'm going to advise him to take it. But here's the thing: McDonald's going to argue that this is just the way it's done. This is his defense, and it could work on appeal. This is the way it's done in America. I didn't do anything special. All I did was hold a special benefit in the governor's mansion for him. All I did was, you know, we promoted his stuff. All I did was give him special meetings with officials. That's just fly him around on my airplane. That's just what we do. That's just what we do. We do that to all the people who give us money.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, that's just the good old-fashioned American bribery. If you didn't get special access with your money, what would be the point of lobbyists?
Well,
point of lobbyists is to pay to get benefits. Remember, if you give money to a lobbyist, and you don't get anything in return, you got a bad lobbyist.
That's it.
So the only purpose of lobbying is bribery. Because if you've got some, I mean, is it really true that you can't explain your own business and the lobbyist can? Is that what it
right,
is?
Yeah.
You don't know your own business. You don't know what you need. I mean, it's one thing, you know, you could hire a secretary or someone to write your stuff better. That's not what lobbyists do. Lobbyists, you know, they
use insider access.
Why do they hire Eric Cantor and not a really good letter writer?
Right.
You know, if it's, I can't express myself. I'm just a CEO of a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Right.
I have trouble spelling words. So I need this lobbyist because I can't pick up the phone and dial myself.
I don't think Eric Cantor's. He already made him their billions. This is paying it back.
No, it's all about connections. It's about relationships. It's about getting something for something. And I got to tell you, lobbying is rife. In the Capitol. It's rife among Democrats as well. And I've got real problems. I don't have problems, by the way. Let me be very clear. I don't have problems lobbying for children's rights or lobbying for people who are poor or lobbying for pro-choice or to prevent gun violence. That's different. That's lobbying for a cause. I do have trouble, though, lobbying for a businessman to make more money.
Yeah.
Because that's just bribery, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe he'll argue that the Supreme Court has already ruled that money is speech.
That's right. You know. And so Johnny Williams just spoke really, really loudly.
Right. He was speaking to him. He was speaking the language that everybody understands.
He spoke in catering. He spoke in Rolex. He speaks many languages.
He spoke the universal language. Government. Yeah. So I guess that's his argument, and that is that he was just exercising free speech. And as we already know from the Citizens United ruling, there's no influence speech. Money doesn't have any effect on politics.
No, absolutely none whatsoever. And the billions and billions doesn't affect anything.
Yeah, it's not going to change
anything. And if you believe that, you're stupid. And speaking of stupid, we haven't talked about Rick Perry yet.
Rick Perry.
I was waiting for that segue. I was working hard for it.
Yeah, Rick Perry. So let's talk about
him. So he's indicted as well.
Yeah, he's indicted for a couple
Governor
of things.
Governor of Texas.
Here's the thing about Rick, the Rick Perry issue. Immediately after he was the charges came out, and it kind of frosted my cookies. But I like frosted cookies, so it wasn't really a bad thing. It frosted my cookies, Mark, because of all of these Democrats.
I like frosted cookies. Yeah, right, cookies.
It frosted my darn cookies.
I prefer chocolate chip.
Yeah. So there I am eating my frosted cookies, and I turn on the TV, and there's Democrats saying, oh, well, you know, Rick Perry, this is just a partisan witch hunt. But although the judges involved were Republicans, prosecutor involved is a Republican. Now, I'm not going to say it's not a witch hunt, but it ain't a partisan one, number one. And number two, Rick Perry looks like he's got on a pointed black hat and a broom to me.
Here's the thing. I don't know if this is going to rise to the level of criminality, but it's definitely suspicious because see, people say, well, you know, he wanted to fire, what's her name?
A publicly elected official?
Her name just...
Limbert or something. Rosemary Limbert.
He wanted to fire Ms.
Limbert. Travis County District Attorney.
Because of the drunk driving that she did.
Allegedly.
But, no, she did.
No, she did the drunk driving.
She did the drunk driving. She pled guilty to it. We could say she did it. But there were two other DAs that also were convicted of drunk driving. One guy was convicted twice.
Yeah.
And Perry didn't go after them.
Not a problem.
They were Republicans. So it's not like he's gone after everyone who's been involved in drunk driving. And as you pointed out, this office that Ms. Limbert ran did a lot more than your typical DA's office.
Yeah. See, there was that. And what he ended up doing was he ended up eliminating the money. He defunded the Public Integrity Unit.
Yeah, so public integrity, overrated.
Yeah.
Who needs it? What a waste of money. Integrity is a waste of money.
So here this woman who he wanted gone and he threatened that he would use his authority as governor.
Right.
That sounds like abuse of power. To force her to leave, so he says it's because of you know, her drunk driving. But coincidentally, her office oversaw the state public integrity unit funded by the legislature, which just happened at the time. I mean, I'm sure there's no connection here, but it happened to be investigating the Cancer Research and Prevention Institute. It's a $3 billion taxpayer funded award research. They award research and investment grants to start up cancer cures, right? Well, the entire scientific review team resigned from this organization. They said, because they said that millions were handed out through political favoritism. Okay. Investigators by Texas newspapers indicated that much of the money was ending up in projects proposed by campaign donors and supporters of Governor Perry. In fact, one of the executives was indicted in the public integrity unit investigation for awarding an $11 million grant to a company without the proposal undergoing any type of review. It just coincidentally, as he tries to force this woman out, so he could appoint her predecessor. The public integrity unit.
I'm just quoting Rick Perry.
Is doing this investigation that may very well lead back to him. Nothing suspicious there.
So there are. Texas is kind of a weird state for lots of reasons. But one of the
Rick Perry's the governor. That's all you need to know.
Governor before. It happens to have one of the weakest governors, actually, of any state.
Yeah, that's true.
But that means it has centralized local control. And interesting, Austin, which is the capital, which is, let's face it, what Rick Perry accurately called, I think, a blueberry in tomato soup.
Yes, it is.
It's a blue island in a red storm.
But that's rapidly changing.
A blue island in a red storm. I don't think I would like a blueberry in tomato soup. But so this is the capital, and they, I think quite smartly, put the person, the watchdog of the governor, is not anyone appointed by him. And that's, you know, that's kind of cool, actually, and kind of rare. I mean, you know, the president appoints the attorney general, so if they want to investigate the president, they have to be a special prosecutor, and we learned what happened with Nixon and everybody else. But in this case, she doesn't report to him. He cannot fire her. He wanted to get rid of her, actually, and replace her with the woman that she ran against, the Republican who lost to her.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about elections, right, the person who gets the most vote usually wins, unless it's Al Gore. So he actually wanted to reverse an election. He wasn't just getting rid of her.
Yes.
He wanted to install the very person who lost the election. And this you know, raises real concerns. I mean, it's I don't know if it's criminal. I don't know if it's criminal.
Now,
it's definitely unethical.
Now, here's the thing.
But I don't know Texas.
So just conveniently, he said to her, either you resign or I'm going to defund this organization that may very well find me that I'm a criminal.
He can't fire her.
Right.
But what he wanted, he vetoed all funding to her unit.
To the public integrity unit, not to her office.
Fair enough.
He specifically picked that. Isn't that it? That sounds so Nixonian, doesn't it?
Why didn't he take away funding to drunk driving?
No. The public integrity unit. That he looked at what they were doing and he said,
"This
injustice will not
stand." Public integrity? No way. That will not stand.
This injustice will not stand.
There will be no public integrity in Texas. This is Texas.
So, and the fact of the matter is this. Yes, he has the, because all the people are acting as though that, you know, that people are, that the courts are challenging his right to veto. He has the right and the authority to veto. What they're saying is this. You can't go to an elected official and say, you resign and threaten.
If you don't resign,
I will use my power and authority as governor to vindictively.
That's the question. I don't know whether you can do that or not.
According to Texas law, you can't.
Well, according to the indictment, you can. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But the question is whether you can say, I mean, for example, let's just give you an example. Let's say President Obama did not like the Supreme Court and its rulings on Citizen United. Something out of nowhere that you couldn't possibly imagine being true. So, and since the Supreme Court is run amok and doing all kinds of things, like Citizens United, like striking down the Voting Rights Act, President Obama vetoes any bill that funds the United States Supreme Court until Justice Scalia resigns and says, you know what? Sorry, court, you're not going to be paid. You can't function. It's not personal. I have a right to veto bills. I'm going to veto any bill that funds the U.S. Supreme Court until Scalia resigns.
Do you do what I want?
Now, would that be
coercion?
Would that be illegal? Would that be a criminal act?
Well,
it would be unethical.
And here's the question.
Would the Republicans raise holy hell?
Yeah, well, here's
of
the other question.
Would. I mean, it's extreme. I might even be an impeachable offense.
Also, there's a difference between doing something and threatening to do it. There's a difference between just doing something and afterwards saying, I didn't do it. Then saying, if you don't do this, I'll do this.
Just quick answer in the law, and I know we have to take a break. In blackmail, okay, you can go to the police and say my neighbor committed a crime. That's perfectly fine. That's right. Just that's normal. But you can't say, hey neighbor, if you don't give me $1,000, I'm gonna go to the police and tell them you committed a crime. Right. You can go and expose pictures you took of someone outside doing something stupid. But what you can't do is say I'm gonna turn in those pictures unless you.
You can't go as the governor to a woman and say if you don't have sex with me, you are a whatever. If you don't have sex with me, I'm going to use my authority to veto something to take your job.
That's right.
So you can't. Yeah, he has the authority, but you can't threaten to use your authority as a governor to coerce somebody into doing something.
So
we got
to
take a break.
And then take some calls.
202-588-0893. Bob McDonald, Rick Perry, Little Bit Ferguson. 202-588-0893.
Corruption Friday.
We'll be back in a second.
The African American Historical News Journal. Own a part of history. WPFW invites you to own a part of African American history. This is an heirloom with actual articles from the 1700s through 1950. Where else can this much living history be found in one place for only $25? The African American Historical News Journal features articles about slave revolts, abolitionists like Frederick Douglass, activists such as Paul Robeson, the daily living of freed black people, and more. This collector's item is a great gift to pass down to your children and grandchildren and share with your family and friends. As part of our Thank You to Our Listeners campaign, we are offering you an opportunity to receive this fabulous 58-page book for only $25 pledge for softcover and $40 for hardcover. To get your copy, visit our website at www.wpfw.org or call our Thank You hotline at 1-800-284-1315. Don't miss this opportunity to have this compilation of newspaper articles and firsthand accounts of our nation's history in your personal library today.
You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm here with
Mark Levine.
And the name of the show is News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Feel free to email me, garlandn@gmail.com. Let me look and see if some of my.
Or you could tweet at me. Let me know what you're thinking of today's show at Mark Levine Talk, MarkLevineTalk, because September 5th is officially Corruption Friday. You probably didn't even know that.
That's it.
It's going to be a new national holiday.
Yeah, I was about to say we need to send something to the president and the mayor. Corruption Friday. Okay, maybe we can get local restaurants to do Corruption Friday specials.
Discounts.
Yeah.
Well, in Washington, everyone would.
I was about to say
everyone would get one.
Yeah, right. So we're going to go to the phones. We have plenty to talk about, and we are looking forward to listening to you. 202-588-0893. We are starting with Tesla. Welcome.
Hello, Tesla.
Tesla?
Good evening, Tesla. Turn down your radio.
Oh, no, Tesla. Okay, well, we'll go to Ramey. Ramey, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, Garland.
Great to hear from you.
Hey, Mark, how's it going? You know what I thought was fascinating or interesting about the McDonald trial?
Yeah.
Aside from the stupidity of the counsel, the defense attorney, they actually came back the next day after the jury got the case and said publicly that was a good sign in their favor that the jury was out more than a day. I'd just be interested.
There were like 15 counts.
Yes.
17 counts. It takes some time to go through them.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean...
that's not that long.
Yeah, that was my comment. You guys have a great show.
I just look at it, Mark, and I think to myself, I find it unfathomable that a legal team would put together a strategy like that with any thought in their mind that it might be successful. Am I nuts?
I
am nuts, but let's not talk about that.
Well, I've seen your shoes. Right?
Yeah, right.
These bright orange and yellow shoes are blinding me. Gone. But hey, if they had taken the time machine and taken this trial in 1955, I wonder.
I think a lot
I wonder. With an all-male jury, I wonder. My wife's crazy. I don't, you know... I don't even know that it would have worked.
In 1955.
But it might have had a chance then. To me, it just oozed of sexism.
Oh, yeah.
It just oozed of sexism.
And you're right.
I'd be curious to know what some of our other women
let's face it. A lot of conservatives think they're in 1955
well,
now.
True.
You know, from reading Bob McDonald's the document that he wrote in college, I think he thinks it's 1855. Who's next? JB?
JB's next.
JB.
Hey.
Hi, JB. Welcome to WPFW.
Thank you. Glad to hear you guys again. I'm a Virginian, lifelong Virginian. I love Virginia. What this business with McDonald is just so pathetic. It's not only embarrassing, but pathetic. But these people, a lot of them down there in Richmond, are still living in the 40s, just like you said.
Well, but the jury convicted him, so I like to think that we're getting somewhere. Did you find the trial as sexist as I did? I found it really sexist.
I really couldn't listen to it. It was too pathetic.
Okay. Yeah. It was pretty pathetic.
But it's typical Republican strategy. They wanted someone in Virginia so badly that they pick anybody and fund them up to the hilt, get them in office, and then they're gone. The party's gone. The big money's gone. And McDonald's out there fending for himself. He's got no money. You know, he can't live the high hog lifestyle that he thinks he's entitled to. And that's what happened. And that's what happens all the time.
It does.
And so, I mean, it's a pattern. If you look at it, I can't remember the guy's last name that ran in Maryland, Michael something. And they went all out to run him for governor of Maryland. And he lost pathetically.
You're not Michael Steele.
Michael Steele.
He ran for Senate.
Governor,
and then he ran for Senate. Yeah, right. And he got beaten
right.
really bad.
But that's what they do. They just pour all this money in, all these ads, all this nonsense, and they elect somebody who's totally unqualified.
Part of it is you got to remember.
And then they leave them hanging.
The thing the trial made clear was how vital money is to politics in America.
Yes,
and it's
absolutely.
And it's really sad.
It is.
That
because
people want the government to do something for them. Rich people want special favors. They hire lobbyists to get those special favors, or they just pay directly themselves.
Right, exactly.
And politicians need the money to run, to
they
pay for all those
money.
Ads and all.
Exactly.
Public financing of elections would solve.
Well, you know something I tend to think a Bob McDonald, he looks at Congress, and he sees a lot of members of Congress come in, you know, fairly, you know, and they walk out. I'm not talking about like one
Eric Cantor
or Mitch McConnell, but then a few years later they have many, many millions. Okay,
exactly.
I think that somebody like him looks at it and says, you know,
I got
mine coming.
Yeah, give me mine.
And you know what?
Where's mine?
He couldn't wait until he got out of office. If he'd only waited until he got out of office.
You're supposed to wait the 4 years, Bob. Don't you know how the game is played? I guess
right.
not. 202-588-0893.
Yeah, you know, if he had given this guy all kinds of stuff, like let's say Eric Cantor fought against anything that would have restricted Wall Street for many, many years, and when he leaves, they hand him a pile of loot. So if he'd have done that for 4 years, helped this guy, did everything he could to make this guy a fortune, when he left, he'd have got
a
job
making it. All he had to do was promote the heck out of his tobacco product. Oh, yeah, healthy tobacco.
Yeah, that'll help you.
Healthy
yeah.
tobacco.
Nothing like that for your lungs.
Do it, and then... All he had to do was, after he was done being governor, be appointed to the tobacco lobby.
Yep.
That's what a senator down in Southwest Florida did.
Yep.
And that's why the Democrats no longer control the Senate in Virginia, even though we worked very hard to elect lieutenant governor and all of that, because they just simply bought him off. That's how politics are played. That's how they're done on both sides. But particularly Republicans are very, very good at what I call legalized bribery, except McDonald. It's so rampant that he ignored the legal bribery and actually went to illegal.
He just didn't know how the game was played. He was ignorant of the game. He came in and he thought, you know, like some kind of a drug dealer getting, you know, shiny Rolex watches. You know, come on.
I think Tesla's back.
Okay, yeah, that's good. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We're going to Tesla?
I think Tesla.
Roland, we're going to wrestle. Roland.
Sorry.
Roland, you're on the air.
Hi, Roland.
Oh, great. Hey.
How you doing?
Just wanted to give props to Rachel Maddow. I caught her show last night, and she addressed the McDonald thing for quite a bit, actually. And it was great what she did. She looked at his history, and she pointed out how he had risen through Virginia culture on extreme right-wing evangelical, Liberty University, et cetera.
And all about the family. He had family values. That's what he ran on, family values.
Family values, and there's his wife at his side and all that. And then what happens? He's indicted with all this stuff, and he just throws
her out. Here's my wife. Push her in front of the truck. Here's my wife. Take my wife, please. Here's my family values. I'm ducking and cover. Take my wife.
Exactly.
Chivalry in Virginia.
That's what you get. You vote and vote and vote, and then you end up getting that.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, it's funny.
I'm afraid they're getting what they deserve.
So he said all this family value stuff, so he tried to rise to power on his wife, and then when it was time to, you know, for things to go bad, but then you sacrifice her, like, at the altar of power.
What must she be thinking? Is she livid? I mean, I just, you know, Maureen McDonald's been silent this whole thing. Mm. Is she, like... I'm sure she's embarrassed.
But you know, when you look at it, she was right in there playing the game.
Oh, no, I
buddy.
Know.
She was taking the candy too, wasn't
she's
she?
Not, she's not innocent by
she
any
was
stretch.
Taking the candy.
She's it not was... innocent by any stretch, but I just...
We're going to take somebody.
They didn't have to air all that dirty.
You know,
laundry.
Here's the
they
thing,
didn't
too.
Have to. I don't think so.
Here's the thing, too, and some people get caught up in this. And I understand... people getting caught up in this, but I'm just saying, you know, that if you're a politician and, you know, you do this, you should go to jail. Okay. People get, they hang around a bunch of people who are very, very wealthy, but they're not very, very wealthy. Clearly, he had apparently had problems paying his bills before he was
governor. Like a $90,000 credit card debt.
So you hang around people who are very, very, very wealthy, and you're not very, very, very wealthy. And there's a certain there's a feeling that you want to be in that circles. You want to hang with them. You want to do the stuff that they do,
and have the things that they have. As you point out, if he just waited a few years,
he'd have got
it. Could have cashed in.
Yeah.
And that's the other, buddy. The really sad thing. The really sad thing is that so many people go into public service to cash in. They don't do it because they want to change anything. They do it to cash in. He just, like you said, he cashed a little bit too early. It would have been perfectly legal if he just waited a couple years to cash in.
He didn't understand how the game's played. He went to the ATM too early.
You got to pretend to be a public servant first.
That's right. You got to wait till like the guard turns his back before you run in and snatch the money. And he tried to snatch it right in front of his face.
And then it's legal.
Yeah. Who's next?
I
Tesla?
Think we finally do have Tesla.
Tesla, welcome to WPFW.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, Tesla.
If you do not practice your values and just keep preaching, you will lose your values. Why I say this, let me give you an example. America preaches its values. America preaches about the Constitution and law, but America deals with corrupt officials all over the world, including my own, which has stolen over $17 billion. It does ethnic cleansing. It does murder every day. America looks the other way. It keeps financing it. And America is doing this all over the world.
We can't deny there is Corruption Friday is an international event.
Yes.
It's not only in America.
So we know.
To be fair, there's corruption is
is rampant, and we know from many of Tesla's calls that the Ethiopian dictator is a perpetrator of said crime. Okay, next, who's next? Rodney? Rodney, welcome to WPFW. You are on the air, Rodney.
Hi, Rodney.
Yes, I'm a card-carrying member, and we still have the two sides of the wonderful authoritative triumvirate of Mark Garland and
Terry Kester. We do
the
miss
doctor
him,
of right? democracy. Yes, I really
do. We do miss him. You're a card-carrying member of what? The old Raucous Caucus? What card do you carry? I don't remember issuing any cards.
Hey, Mark. Now you didn't lead that, did you?
What, the Raucous Caucus?
No, I thought what you said, you lynched him? Is that what you said?
No, I said we miss him. We miss Terry.
Oh, you miss him? Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
anyway.
there's a difference between missing and lynching. It's slight, maybe, but there is a difference. Oh, my God.
And as always, you guys pick the cream of the crop in terms of, cannon fodder for discussion on Friday evenings, and, you know, that has not continued. The quality is still there. I did want to say that... power brokering in Virginia, having been there from there myself, and I'd like to ask my question to Mark technically as an attorney, do you feel that the defense had a theory that was turned out to be ineffective, along with the playing the family values card, the religious fundamentalism card? We pray to God that everything's going to be fine, and
well, it's very easy to ask a lawyer about a case after the jury has already rendered its verdict. So was it ineffective? Yes, I can safely say it was ineffective. I mean, it was may have been the only card they had. I think you should have taken the plea.
If that's the only card you have, you got to take the plea.
That's the real. I mean, the argument was that the two of them barely talked, and therefore she was doing all these things behind his back. But the evidence just showed it wasn't true. The evidence showed that McDonald actually negotiated several of these loans. In one case, he's taken this $50,000 from Johnny Williams, and then 6 minutes later, he's calling people in his office about promoting his company, and has nothing to do with Maria.
There's
McDonald.
No connection whatsoever, Mark.
So some of it she did, and some of it she didn't do at all. And to play in the wife card, to me, it just, I mean, they're both criminals, but I just thought it was kind of despicable the way he threw his wife under the train for things that they're both clearly guilty of.
Yes, yes. You think it's any different than any other garden variety politician, not necessarily just in Virginia, but any place else? I mean, actually, we're talking about the
some are slicker.
Commonwealth here.
Some are more slick. I mean, Chris Christie at least manages to blame other people.
Right,
I mean, these people were not slick. Yeah. They're doing Ellie loans Hester in their own name.
Or,
I mean,
the other guy up in Illinois, what's his name?
Blagojevich.
Blagojevich.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
He's
that's
not correct. So slick either, actually. He was pretty unslick.
And you know the other thing? Who'd Chris Christie throw under the bus? The blonde-haired lady.
That's
what's
right.
Her name?
That's right. I forgot her name. But that's right. See, the trick in being a corrupt politician is you got to have people below you that can give you plausible deniability.
Right.
You got to have plausible deniability. That's what Nixon had until, frankly, if the tapes hadn't come out, we would never known the other Nixon, Garland, your cousin.
Right.
What your cousin did wrong was he had the tapes. If he had the tapes, he could say, it wasn't me. It was.
That's where delegation comes in.
Exactly.
Right?
Oliver North. Somebody's got to take the spear in the chest.
You need plausible deniability. The McDonald's did this in their own name. I mean, they're not just criminals. They're stupid criminals. What can I say?
Guys, I don't want to hog the line, but always appreciate it.
Thank you. 202-588-0893. Who's next? Roderick? Roderick, you're on the air. Welcome to WPFW.
Yes, it's a pleasure to speak to such gentlemen and scholars who are legends in their own times. I'm talking about
wow. Keep it coming. Keep going. We love compliments, Roderick. Keep it coming.
Yes, and I'm talking about the Raucous Caucus. All three of you gentlemen. Now
we got to get Terry back from Oregon to join in and like old times.
Yes, well, basically, you all will know what I'm talking about when I say this. It was an old television show. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Right.
Yep.
Right. That was Beretta.
Yep.
And my advice is to those politicians out there who are supposed to be public good, who are supposed to be taking care of the public, and who are supposed to be honest, if you get caught, if you go to trial, if you're found guilty, take the punishment. Now, you can definitely appeal, but I think that, and I think the governor, the former governor, will appeal.
Oh, yeah. Well, both of them will appeal. No question.
Yes. But I think that the next court that handles the situation will also find them guilty. Now, one more question. How many times can you appeal a matter like this?
Well, this is done before. This, actually, the federal authorities went after him, which is interesting. It wasn't Virginia. It wasn't.
Right.
And so there's a district court. It would then go to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. You have one automatic right of
Richmond.
Appeal.
In Richmond. Fourth Circuit is in Richmond.
Okay, you have one automatic right of appeal. That's the only automatic absolute right you have. After that, there's not a place you can go. You can ask the Fourth Circuit to render an en banc ruling on bank, which is very rare, where the whole court
bring all like 13
it.
Lawyers
that
or
happens
something.
Like once or twice a year, and that won't happen in this case. And then after that's when the Supreme Court, and they're not gonna touch this with a 10-foot pole.
No.
So he really, for all intents and purposes, gets one real chance.
Keep in mind, I mean, in a given year the Supreme Court will get like 2,500 requests to hear a case, and they'll take like 70 or 80 of them.
That's right. No, and they won't take this case. They would. It's too political. They're not gonna touch it. They're much more about trying to help legalized bribery than to free the one guy who breaks what little rules there are left.
Yeah, and this is a basic criminal case. Usually they're taking stuff where somebody's challenging
constitutional rights.
It's a challenge. And oftentimes also when there were conflicts conflicting findings beneath them in the court, where, for instance, one court found something to be right, the next court found it to be wrong.
The only time they're going to rule in a specific election is when Al Gore runs, in which case they're going to say Bush gets to win.
Right.
But other than choosing the president every few years or so, they're not going to get involved.
Generally, if you lose in one court and you lose in the next court, they ain't going to take it. Well, you got to have, generally, you have to at least have lost in, usually it's lost in one, lost in the first, one in the second, and there's a conflicting opinion between the two.
There will be one realistic appeal, and then they're going to go away for some time. Though, interestingly, white-collar, this is also an interesting thing, white-collar criminals, the crimes, so McDonald was convicted of 11 separate counts. His wife, Maureen, convicted of 8. Each one carries about 20 years.
Oh, yeah, they're all felonies.
He could go for 220 years, but he won't. He certainly won't. He'll probably get like 10 years.
That's what I'm thinking.
Something like that. And it's just interesting to me because if you rob a liquor store, because you're a poor person and you need some money, not that I'm justifying robbing a liquor store, they'll probably put you in jail for a lot longer than being the governor.
Or if you're found with a bag of weed.
Well, that's not a felony.
Yeah, but depends on how much it is.
Yeah, at least you won't go to jail as much for the bag of weed.
Right. But maybe. We could probably look, and I bet you there are some people in this country that are in
more than
jail
10 years?
That have a whole bunch of time for a little bit of weed.
Certainly several years. Let's go to our next caller. Is it Charles?
Charles, welcome to WPFW. You are on the air.
Yeah, I'm a long fan of yours. In particular, I wrote down your email the other day and wanted to send you a message, but you got it on the nail head. White-collar crime is rampant.
And relatively unpunished compared to other crimes.
Oh, yeah. And I used to work for a very powerful corporation that basically runs the NSA. And you wouldn't believe the crap that they do. And they have the abuse of the system. And they own the politicians. You know, the number one powerful company. Most people don't even know who they are. And they have 9,000 active federal contracts. And they run some of the most advanced weapon systems. They do the targeting, you know, for the drones. I mean, look at how blatant it is. And they get away with murder. And I wish something could be done about it. Now, hopefully, you know, white-collar crime is far more advanced.
And here's the thing. You know, even white-collar crime, I think we have to distinguish between ordinary criminals who, you know, who steal Ponzi schemes and steal a bunch of money. And I got no sympathy
embezzle,
for
them. You know, shave off $100,000 from the company coffers
or something. Many of them do even more. I mean, many of them do millions. I got no sympathy for them. But a governor, I think it's perfectly fair to hold the governor of a state to a higher standard.
Yeah, they should lock him up for life, in my opinion. McDonald's.
He's the governor of the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. We need to hold him to a higher standard because already there's too much that's legal. To me, the real scandal is how much legal bribery exists in our American system.
So much so
that, you know, he actually went and broke the law.
Have you ever heard of a company called SAIC?
I have heard of SAIC.
They line the pockets of virtually every congressman and senator, Democrats and Republicans alike. And they also run the email system for the Congress and the Senate and the President. So not only do they line their pockets, if they get out of line, they know it and they hammer them into the ground.
Well, you know,
business lobbyists.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Real trouble with business lobbyists. You want to lobby for a cause, that's fine. But you want to lobby to line your own pockets, you know what?
And see, the other part that we don't get into is this fundraising. A politician now has to have a lot of money in order to get elected.
And I know I ran for Congress.
Right. So
in Virginia,
you've got someone that needs $10 or $15 million in order to get elected. Well, you know what? You're just not going to get that from Joe Blow on the street. Now the corporations will come in and hand you the big bucks. And now the only way you can get elected is to go to these corporations, these big donors, etc., get the money from the big guys, and now you got enough to get elected. Well, guess what? When it comes time,
As Molly Ivins used to say, you got to dance with them what brung you.
That's it. Sooner or later, they're going to ask for something back.
they're not giving you the money for your health. This idea that Johnny Williams is treating Maureen McDonald because he thinks she's pretty and they like to go to ball games
together.
You know what? If he's going to do that, he's going to sleep with her.
Right.
If a guy's going to... there's only two things that he could have wanted from Maureen McDonald.
Right.
And he didn't get the sex. So he definitely wanted the power. He wanted the influence. No question about it. He wanted to sell his product.
He wanted to sell his tobacco. It's like the mafia. If the mafia walks up and offers you 10 grand, here, just take it, Mark.
Yeah,
10 grand.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. Don't take the money.
You know they're coming back.
It's like the devil. It's like the devil. You know, just take the golden banjo. You know, I want like a soul or something. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. No strings attached except on the banjo.
That's it. Well, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Mark, how do they do it?
Go to lots of ways. Go to my website, marklivingtalk.com, where I store all the radio shows I do, and not just on WPFW. Follow me on Twitter at marklivingtalk, facebook.com/marklivingtalk. You get the idea. I'm easy to find. By all means.
And hard to get rid of. How's that? I like that.
So it's don't hesitate.
And if you want to get in touch with me, email is garlandn@gmail.com. The N's for Nixon. garlandn@gmail.com. Facebook me, Garland Nixon, or at Garland Nixon on Twitter. Next, we come.
And thank you, all the callers that gave us a lot of love today. Did you notice we got a lot of love?
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of love today.
That was
great. A lot of memories of the Raucous Caucus. Yep. We appreciate our old fans and our new ones.
We certainly do. Next, Robin's Place, Do Not Change the Dial. We go from the madness of Mark and I to some really good music.
Smooth jazz.
Smooth music. I'll be back next Friday, WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C., your Pacifica affiliate. Robin's Place, next. Stand by.
WPFW, Washington, 89.3 FM.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything's starting to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day.